What I'm going to do this week and the next couple weeks is start kind of a mini-series that is from the book of Colossians. It's a short thing, but there's so much here. So what I am going to do this morning and the next couple weeks is just kind of skim the surface, really, because you can't do it in just a short time. But I want to pull out some of the truth you will find and some of the implications, I'm too loud, of what is in Colossians. So if you follow along with me, drink it in. Try to understand what Paul was saying, because there's so much there. Because today, we need stuff like that. In this world of ours today, and throughout all of history, there have been a lot of important figures, people who have been on the stage of the world and made an impact, accomplished great things, some good and some not so good. Political figures and warriors like Alexander the Great, Charlemagne, Napoleon, Joan of Arc, Lenin, the Roosevelts, and so on. But that's in the physical world. In the spiritual world, the church has always believed and used a cliche, I guess, that Jesus is Lord of all, or he's not Lord at all. This passage from Colossians is probably one of the best presentations of that idea, what it means, what it can do to touch our lives of any place in the Bible, because Jesus is Lord. But after we've said that, what does it mean? What effect can this have in our lives? What difference can it make? That's one thing we want to look at. Now, usually as I'm preaching, I go through and just give you the scriptures as we go along. But what I want to do today is to read this whole passage for you. I'm reading from the English Standard Version so you can follow along. But just kind of drink in what Paul has to say, the picture that he paints as we go through this. Colossians chapter 1, starting in verse 15. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For by him all things were created, in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities. All things were created through him and for him. And he is before all things, and in him all things hold together. He is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in everything he might be preeminent. In him all the fullness of God is pleased to dwell, and through him to reconcile all things to himself, whether on earth or in heaven, making peace by the blood of the cross. And you, who were once alienated and hostile in mind, doing evil deeds, he has now reconciled in his body of flesh by his death, in order to present you holy and blameless and above reproach before him. If indeed you continue in the faith, stable and steadfast, not shifting from the hope of the gospel that you have heard, which has been proclaimed in all creation under heaven, and of which I, Paul, became a minister. So just drink that in. I'm going to draw 3 points from this. Only 3, and there's lots more. But just consider these. First of all, let's explore the question. If we say Jesus is Lord, what indeed does that mean? What difference can it make for us? Let's find out some of the implications of well, because if we say that Jesus is Lord, it has a whole lot to mean to us. So let's dive in. First, Colossians 1, verses 15 and 16. He's the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For by him all things were created, in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities. All things were created through him and for him. Now, one of the few technical things that I'm going to add to you here is the opening line of verse 15. It says that Christ is the image of the invisible God. And the Greek word that's translated image there is icon, from which we get our English word, icon. But it's not so much about words. The meaning here is more than just icon or image. It also carries the idea of revealing the nature of God, who he is. And in the scripture, Christ's supremacy is set forth for all to see. He's not just some kind of a second-hand, second-level, third-level Greek or Roman or whatever God. He is God, the only true God. He is Lord. Paul describes that supremacy and what that means for you a little bit in verses 15 through 17. In verse 15, it first said that Christ is the firstborn. In verse 16, he is the creator. In verse 16b, he is the goal. He is that which to which all things aim. In verse 17, and verse 17 says, he is before all things, and in him all things hold together. He is the sustainer. It indeed holds all things together. Paul boldly said that Jesus is the true God who created everything, even the invisible. Christ is creator of all. Everything began with him. Everything will end with him. All things sprang forth at his command. All things will return to him in the end. So what does and what can this statement, this reality that Jesus is Lord, what does it mean to us? Here's one way you can put some of these truths into action. When you choose to follow Jesus, when you invite him into your life, accept him as your Lord and Savior, you're not merely aligning yourself with a good teacher. You're not merely choosing to adopt a certain belief system as your own, even though that's what the world would have you feel. When you choose to follow Christ, you are connecting with the God of the universe, the creator of all that exists, the one with more authority and power than any in heaven or on earth over all of time. That's who Jesus is. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. Through him, for by him all things were created in heaven and on earth. Paul is saying that Jesus is supreme. Above him, there is no other. He has ultimate power in the universe. And there's one idea, one implication that's very important here for all of us, for you and me. It is that he is willing to use his power on and through us to give us the strength to live day by day. The creator of the universe, of all power, is willing to use that to help you. Jesus is the source of your strength. This means that you don't have to tackle life with your own limited abilities and power. Jesus makes his unlimited power available to you. But hear me now, not to do just anything you want anytime. It's to do as he knows best for you. And he knows best even if you really don't necessarily like it. Sorry. In the book of Ephesians, in chapter 3, verse 20 and 21, Paul said this: now to him who is able to do far more abundantly than all that we ask or think, according to the work, to the power at work within us, to him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Jesus can do more than we ask, more than we even think of asking. He can do more than all the textbooks the world has ever or will ever see. Do you see what some of this means? One of the implications here is that with Jesus in your life, you are not a loser. And I want you to know the opposite is also true. Without him in your life, you cannot be a winner either. Now, to kind of give you an idea of what this means, there's a phenomenon that we see in sports from time to time. Sometimes it's in other activities in the world also. One player, one individual can have such an impact on a team that he becomes pivotal in whether they win or lose. That is exactly what happened to the Denver Broncos between 98 and 99. In those two seasons, between those two seasons, there was only one significant personnel change to the roster of the Denver Broncos. You know what that was? John Elway retired. Some of you go back to John Elway in Baltimore, okay. But with Elway, remember, they won two Super Bowls back-to-back in 97 and 98. They were winners. Without him, they haven't won one since. They've won big games, but not the biggest. They haven't even won as many games. If not losers, they certainly aren't winners. But that's the difference that he made on that team. Now think about this for a minute. We're talking about football players here. It could be actors. It could be musicians. It could be any human being with any ability. Yet one really, really talented individual can make a major difference. But does it stop there? Is it just about human beings and the talents and the abilities that they have? What's the point of all this if we stop? Well, there is, in fact, a lot more here. Having Jesus in your life gives you a kind of a key player advantage on a large scale. And actually, he is not really on your team. You are on his. With him, with the Lord of the universe, with Jesus on your team, you are winners. He is supreme. He is above all things. His power is greater than any other in heaven, on earth. Beside him, John Elway and Peyton Manning aren't even up to the Little League. And the amazing thing about all of this is the one who created all of the universe, who set the sun and moon and stars into motion, is willing to be a part of your life. He's willing to help you with the strength to face the challenges and the trials that you will meet in day-to-day living. The God of the universe will pour all of his power into helping you. In Psalms, David wrote this, Psalm 18:32. It is God who equipped me with strength and made my way blameless. It is God who equipped me. Notice that. This is one thing Jesus can do for you. He can give you a positive hope in life that you would not have otherwise. He can be the source of strength even when your strength is gone. We have hope in our lives because he is ruler over all, because he is Lord. That's the first thing. Now, the second thing that I want to share from this passage comes from verse 17 of Colossians. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. The tense, it's a perfect tense that's used here, tells us that he continues to hold all things together. And apart from this continuous activity, all things could and probably would just fall apart. Think about this now. Since he is the creator, who holds all things together. He knows best how to fix things, how to order those things, including our lives, including your lives as well. Not necessarily to make things easy or to make things perfect, but to get you through and out the other side. So what does this mean for us? It means that he can hold your life together when it seems to be falling apart. He helps you to see what's important in life and what is not. If there's one thing that I've learned in 25 plus years of ministry, it's this. In spite of how things appear, no one is completely altogether 100% of the time. Everyone's life unravels before their eyes at some point. And this includes celebrities and sports stars and business professionals and, yes, church people. And as I apologized to Mike first service, yeah, to let this out, yes, it includes ministers too. Everybody is subject to this. Sometimes things unravel because of sin. Sometimes they unravel because of circumstances that seem to be beyond our control. But whatever the cause, if you turn to Jesus, he can hold your life together even when it seems to be falling apart. Now, some people may be facing just that kind of thing in their lives right now. Someone may be facing a financial crisis. Maybe a loved one is sick, even critically. Maybe a friendship is broken. A job is lost. You're facing a crisis in your faith. A marriage is on the rocks, and it's certainly one person's fault or maybe another. But regardless of the cause of all this chaos, Jesus can hold it together. When neither you nor any other human being even have a clue of how to go about doing that. If you will turn to him, he has more than enough power and more than enough compassion to see you through the challenges that you will face in your life. Again, in verse 17, where Paul says he is before all things and in him all things hold together, Paul is speaking about the fact that Jesus controls all of creation. Well, what difference does that make? That's so big and so far away. It doesn't affect us, does it? Well, think about this. If God can keep the universe under control, he can control the chaos in your day-to-day life. Whether the problems of your life are the result of sin or circumstances, you can be sure that Jesus can restore the sanity in your life if you will turn to him. You see, he holds the world together, and no one and nothing else can do this. He can carry the weight of the world on his shoulders, and he can and he will carry you. That's the second. He is a sustainer. He holds all things together. Third, I want you to see a truth and an implication that are taken from the admittedly long and more complex part of this passage. It's at the end of the passage, verses 19 through 23. And I'll read this fast for you. For in him the fullness of God was pleased to dwell, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, making peace by the blood of his cross. And you, who were once alienated and hostile in mind, doing evil deeds, he has now reconciled in his body of flesh by his death, in order to present you holy and blameless and above reproach before him. If indeed you continue in the faith, stable and steadfast, not shifting from the hope of the gospel that you heard, which has been proclaimed in all creation under heaven. after Paul pointed out in verse 19 who Jesus was, the fullness of God dwelling, he tells us that Jesus' will and purpose and pleasure is to reconcile to himself all things. This means that Jesus, God, wills, he wants to reconcile, to bring together, to make peace for all of creation and himself. In every reference to reconciliation between God and man in the New Testament, it's God who takes the initiative. He does virtually everything. All we have to do is respond, but we must do that. What this says to us in our personal reconciliation, our personal relationship with God, is that it took nothing less than the death of Jesus Christ, God the Son, to accomplish this. Without reconciliation, we will remain separated, alienated from God, alienated from creation and from others, even though we may not want that to be happening. God wants to reconcile us, to bring us back. It is his will there be peace in our lives. And there's more. There's one application of Paul's words in verse 23. It's just this. This gospel, this reconciliation doesn't just work like magic. The mind and the heart and the will must be involved. Our minds must feed on Christ and his word. Our hearts are to focus on him and his love. Our wills are to take their practice and their pattern from him. We must fill our lives every day from him. So how do we understand this? Well, here's an idea. Recently, I read that a West Coast doctor took an informal poll among his patients to find out what wish each would make if his wish could be granted. And 87% of them said that peace of mind was more important than anything else. For those people who are stirred up and unsettled, even one day of peace seems to be beyond reach. The good news is that Jesus wants to fill your lives with peace. In John 14, 27, he said, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid." In John 16, 33, he said, "I have said these things to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation. But take heart," Jesus said, "I have overcome the world." Paul says that in Colossians, "You who were once alienated and hostile in mind, doing evil deeds, he is now reconciled in his body of flesh by his death, in order to present you holy and blameless and above reproach before him." Now, I want you to notice not just what was said there and what was written there, but what Paul did not say. Paul did not say, "You were alienated from God, and then through your own good works or your own effort with a good self-help book, you were able to get right with God, and now you're holy and blameless." No, that's not what he said. He said that you become holy and blameless because Jesus Christ died on the cross for your sins. He died that we might live. And the separation that existed between you and God was thereby closed. When you put your faith in Christ, you give yourself to him, you can have peace with God, and no one and nothing can take that away. He not only gives you peace with God, but he also gives you peace with yourself. Huh? What's that all about? Well, think about it. You don't have to drown in guilt over the past because the God you have sinned against has forgiven you. You don't have to feel fearful of the future, because the one who controls the future is taking care of you. And when you accept forgiveness, it becomes possible to forgive yourself. Regardless of what has happened in the past, regardless of what may happen tomorrow, you can live today knowing that God is in control of your life. To sum this up, because Jesus is truly Lord, Lord of all, when you give your life to Him, fear, turmoil, and chaos can become things of the past. You don't have to live your life thinking that you're on your own, because His power and strength are available to you through Him. You don't have to live your life feeling as if everything is spinning out of control, because He can and will hold things together. You don't have to live your life overcome with worry, turmoil, overcome with anxiety, because He can and will fill your life with peace. And this means also to all of us in a very personal way that with His power available to us, your life, all of you, can be filled with hope. We are reconciled. We are brought back to God. The question then is this: if Jesus is Lord and calls me to Himself, how? How do I experience this strength? How do I experience God's strength in my life? And the answer is incredibly simple. You only have to ask and surrender yourself to Him, saying, God, I can't do this without You. I can't do it myself. I need Your strength. I need You in my life. God, here is my life. Take it. And you can count on Him to be there. He will not let you down, because He is Lord. Jesus is Lord of all. Let's pray. Lord, there is so much in our lives, so much that we need to do. Our lives are in turmoil, and nothing seems to work the way we want to sometimes. But we are assured by You so many times that You have this in Your hand. You have this in control. So we need to give our lives to You. We need to make that step, because we don't know what we can do, and we can't do it ourselves. So, Lord, here is this time. We give this time to You. In Jesus' name, amen. And the invitation is here for you, for all of you who are here in this place right now. If you have never given your life over to Jesus, if you want to know how you can get rid of all the control, the chaos, and all the problems, and all the fuss in your life, here is the time. Come talk to these two gentlemen at the front. They will be happy to help you, to guide you, to show you how Jesus can make a difference. If you have a time where you need to just share a hope, a fear, a question, here they are. We will be more than happy, in Jesus' name, to reach out the hand to you in help. So as we stand and sing together, the invitation is here for you.